Drinks.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Why Mommy Drinks.
Yeah.
I'm Betsy Stover.
And I'm Amanda Allen.
Hello.
Hi.
This episode, we are joined by, she's a comedy writer, an author, an actor, a very funny lady, Laura Wilcox.
Hi.
Hi.
Who are you?
Here we go again.
Here we go.
We started the show about a minute ago.
Yep.
And then
I realized I wasn't recording.
And you'll never get to hear it.
You'll never get to hear it.
No.
Although what we just did was pretty identical, yeah. I'll be honest.
It's close.
Yeah. I mean, it was almost scary.
Exactly. Yeah. Like,
oh, good.
Yeah. Great job, everyone.
Last time. I made a joke about a nap, but it's just our inside joke. It's
right. Yeah. It's an inside joke about
it. It's an inside joke now about naps. You guys wouldn't get it.
You wouldn't
like it.
No, you had to be there.
Yeah. You had to be there. Sorry.
Ridiculous. Are we taping?
Oh, I was napping.
Oh, okay.
So sorry.
Yeah. I feel, Laura, every time we come to tape, I feel like every episode I'm like, I'm really tired. I'm so tired, you guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's exhausting.
I have
three kids, and you can hear them in the background screaming.
I have three kids. They're all boys, 8, 7, and 3.
I have three kids. They are 8, and then 2 of them are 6.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I have a 4.5-month-old, and I'm like, that's good. That's enough. No, we like do want to have another, but I'm like, the thought makes me physically ill at the moment thinking about adding to this.
Yeah. So
it's going to be a while.
I think there's a biological thing that happens that's
I need a minute.
Yeah, I think for me, it was like right up to year 2, like at the 2-year birthday is when I was like, all of a sudden I was like, oh, wait, maybe.
Maybe because they're not a baby anymore. And you're like, I want a baby.
We did that again. We did that.
And then you get the baby and you're like, old. Oh, no. Newborns suck. They suck.
Yeah. They're hard. 4.5. Now, did she change? Because Wesley we have some serious fighting.
There's some yelling.
There's like some.
What are they saying? Can you hear them?
I don't know. Probably
it's like, one of your daughters.
You're a dummy. Dummy dad.
Odie calls people stupid all the time. Oh my God, Amanda, you'll be so excited. Odie, my 3.5-year-old, has been saying, oh shit, all the time. He says it like really casually in conversation. He's like, oh
please
shit, I forgot my water.
Get a recording for me.
Oh shit. And he says it. It's so casual, and he's like an old pro at saying, oh,
and
shit.
You're like, oh, shit, you just say, oh, shit?
He's such a pro at it. I think he says it all the time, and people don't even notice.
Yeah.
Because it's
did that 3?
Yeah. Did he? No, I must have imagined it.
That's awesome.
Honestly, that's really cute.
I love it when kids curse.
I know.
Me too. It's so great.
It's so
when you
fat.
Come to my house, it happens all the time.
I can't. It's the best. When I hear a kid curses, I'm just like, oh, okay, it's funny.
It's like such Bad News Bears, too. Like, just like, my other kids didn't swear until they were much older.
Yeah.
Like first grade, then they were like, oh, I heard the F word, you know, like I told that story about like my oldest was like, I know what the F word is. And I was like, ooh, what is it? And he goes, fricking. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Ooh,
like,
don't say
that
again. Mm-hmm, that is. I was like, don't say that.
Benny said it yesterday.
The F word.
Yeah. She said it to get attention because she said it. Got in trouble with me.
Yeah.
And Caden came back and she wanted attention. So, because Emmeline was getting it. It was a similar night as you're hearing right now in the back. So Emmeline was getting the attention. So out of nowhere, Benny just was like, fuck. Because that stopped the room and everybody was like, and he was like, what'd you say? And she said, I said, fuck.
Wow.
She pulled out that ace in the hole. She was like, here it is.
She's
now
like,
you got to look at me.
I just learned something.
Yeah. She's like, I know how to get the attention. Just hold out. Then we threatened, if you say it again, you lose your JoJo jacket.
Oh, her JoJo jacket. You don't say.
There's this little girl named JoJo.
JoJo Siwa, right?
Yeah, I don't. Yes.
What's her deal?
What
she, like,
is
made
happening?
In, she seems like she was made in a factory.
I think she
Because she's not good.
I think she's like a robot.
Yeah, she seems like
What
robot,
are
like
you
robotic.
Talking
is she,
about?
She's like an Australian child, I want to say, singer, pop, like pop.
I have done everything to avoid her and she Target.
Really, yeah. I've succeeded, I guess, because I don't know what the.
She sells these understand. giant bows that go in girls' hair. JoJo bows.
She's a human.
She's a little girl.
It's debatable. Yeah, she just. I'm very. I've just seen her on like the Thanksgiving Day parade or something, and I was like, "Did this girl win a contest? Like, why are they letting this terrible kid perform?" And then she's apparently like a big sensation.
She's a huge sensation. Yeah. The other day, I walked in out of nowhere. The girls just know who she is.
Of course.
I was like, "Oh no! How did this happen? How did JoJo get into my house? Like, I don't know how they know." But I walked in and they were sitting on their beanbag chairs. Yes.
Yeah. Ah. Like, where, what?
The girls were sitting on their beanbag chairs, legs crossed, like chilling out, like the teenagers that they are, listening to JoJo Siwa. I don't even know.
Siwa?
I don't know. They say the name and I'm always like, huh? I don't, are you, what? So they were listening to her music, like singing along. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah. I didn't know what she's saying. It was like magic, M-A-G-I-C. That's not what it is, but. And they were just like, get out, Mom. We're listening to JoJo. And I was just like, this is bad. So when we went to Target, they have a JoJo section with bows and sequin jackets.
Oh, wow.
And bright colors.
That's a lot.
Wow.
Do you remember Lazy Town, the scary television show?
No.
So there was a show on Sprout, which is maybe it's a Northeast network, like PBS.
Maybe it was only a Florida thing.
Yeah. Sprout. Yeah. It's like a supermarket. It's a kid's...
It's getting real.
Yeah, I think we can hear it. I think it's picking up on the audio finally.
Yeah.
That's Benny.
Bedtime.
That's Benny.
Yeah.
So she's like, fuck, fuck, fuck.
I was going to say, Odie also said fucking. Oh. Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, shit. Are you fucking kidding
me? Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, what?
Odie. I love him.
It's Ari's been playing it fast and loose.
Oh.
I think oh shit might be me.
I mean, it's okay.
Oh shit.
Oh shit. It is you.
Yeah.
I think I've heard you say it many times.
It happens in the car and he's like probably right by.
And he's like, that's a thing we say.
Oh shit.
I'll use it in a sentence.
Anyways, yeah. Oh shit.
Oh shit.
Please record it. It's like the new R.
I'll try my best. I mean, how? I don't know how. I mean, I guess I'll just wait.
Yeah, just keep it going forever.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I didn't really know who Lizzo was until today.
What?
And she's amazing.
Yeah.
She is amazing.
I love her.
She's like the JoJo for us.
Yeah.
She's nothing like JoJo. I'm so sorry. She's in like she's a female identifying person who makes their living through singing, and that is all they have in common.
And they both sell giant bows.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. They also have both a bow section at Target. Yeah. They are, otherwise, have absolutely nothing in common. I probably have more in common with JoJo than
Lizzo. Yeah.
That to me is one of the tough things about motherhood, because I, you know, being a young adult in New York City, I always knew what was happening, and I felt like I was always on the tip, the first wave of every trend.
Yeah.
And, you know, since having kids, I don't know and I don't care anymore, which is sad.
See, I wasn't cool or... I didn't know anything before, so I just still don't. But I know, because I've Sorry heard of snorting. Lizzo, I've heard of JoJo Siwa. Where does that leave me? What am I if I know about both these things, but not? I don't know either well. I'm just not cool. I'm not good with like discovering new music anyway.
I feel like I may have overstated my own coolness.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, no. I mean, I was a comedy nerd.
Yeah.
I had to know things so I could do sketch comedy about it.
Yeah, that's about it. So you could, like, reference it in an improv scene.
But also, when you're younger, like, you know, you listen to music because you identify with it.
Right.
You're, like, trying to figure out who you are, and the music is what speaks to you. So
you soak it up through osmosis.
Soundtrack of your life.
Yeah.
And then you're always at a bar hearing music.
It's like, this is the song, our song. And then you grow up, and you're like, I don't need music anymore because there's no reason to... dance.
I'm not allowed to listen to my own music anymore.
Life's cruel story shows itself to you and you're like, what's the point? It's just a big old Joni Mitchell song.
Life is just a big Joni Mitchell song. I'm in a sad place today, guys.
Uh-oh. Can I... Let me tell you what's been going on with me.
Let's hear it.
Because there's so many details. I want to go first so I don't forget any details.
Let's get it.
All right. It's been a little epic. Yesterday was kind of epic. All right. So,
she's like, you ready?
You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So first of all, I've been using, Latisse for a few days and,
I see those lashes.
Oh, thank you. Well, I don't think you're going to see any difference yet because it's only been a few days.
Oh, no, we see it.
No, they're there.
Thank you. Working. Thank you. Because Amy Albert Cobb, told me to use it and so I will. So anyway, I've been using it, but then I wake up in the morning and I have like very itchy hands and like itch. So I've been like breaking out. I might be allergic.
Oh, no.
I'm really hoping I'm just going to keep using it and hope that it's something else.
Yeah. Just
or maybe my body will just get used to being allergic to Latisse.
Yeah.
We'll see. So we'll see.
No. What? No, Joe, what? It's not that important.
What?
Eyelashes are not that important. You have fake ones if you really need them.
To write it out, do it. You have to do it.
So anyway, I wake up and my hands are all itchy and I'm like, what the fuck? And so there have also been workmen in our house for a few days because
that's what your termites hands are
itchy. Termites ate right. through I all can. Of our floors on the second on the second story of our place and our landlord, no matter what, will not send someone to treat it. I independently had someone come and check it out and they're like, yeah, you need to like, we need to like tent your house and we need to like fumigate your house for termites. It'll be $2,800. And I was like,
honestly, I thought it would be more.
My landlord will not,
I honestly thought that it would cost more to tent a whole house.
Really?
Yeah.
So, but, well, I haven't even told him because I know
he won't pay that.
Oh, yeah. So here's the thing. Instead of fumigating the house, he just put laminate wood floors over the floors that the termites had eaten.
Oh that God. No, that's safe. Yeah, that'll do.
Like structurally sound, right? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So that's what. So anyway, so there have been workmen in our house, putting laminate wood over our wood floors. What?
Like he's not going to do anything about it.
Nope.
Okay. I think, like, this might be it, Betsy. This might be the straw. You need to move.
I mean, I think if there's an earthquake...
You're done, Betsy. I mean, I need you to survive. You are my person to go to when it all goes down.
If there's an earthquake and there's, like, a rift in our house, it'll just, like, termites will just pour out. You know, it'll be like the scarabs in The Mummy or something. It was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Right? No, I mean, I don't know.
Get out of that house.
Look, we're former New Yorkers. We'll put up with so much.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous because it's like, it's a good location. We have a yard. We have lots of space. We have lots of bathrooms.
I know. I like your house. But now I'm never coming to visit. No, I'm kidding.
Well, you don't have to worry. They're all covered up with a laminate flooring.
Yeah. It's great.
So anyway, so they did that. And then also there were all these cracks in the wall from the house settling because there had been a pipe that had burst. And so the whole house like settled all fucking weird. And he hasn't fixed that either. Don't worry. So anyway, so they painted some cracks in the walls. And then they haven't like painted like more... paint. They just sort of painted over the cracks. So it's like old dirty paint and then new swaths of paint. Yesterday they took out all of the tiles from the kitchen floor. Okay. So they're like, you know, you're hearing all this like racket and like saws and stuff. And I'm, you know, trying to get my kid to nap with me on the bed. And it's just like, you know, so anyway, so I'm like hiding from that. I go downstairs and my whole downstairs was like covered in like dust from this like it was like construction dust.
Yeah.
And it was on everything. It was on everything. It reminded me of
They didn't cover your stuff with plastic.
Mm-mm. So it was on everything. I was like, great, that's what I have time for.
But I like this. I like that this I wanted this to happen.
Yeah. I needed an excuse to do very extensive, meticulous dusting all over my house. So, yeah. And I had, like, laundry. It was a mess. It was a nightmare.
Oh, no.
And then I was like, well, of course. Oh, and so I had to take Odie out for lunch. We couldn't eat there. No. And that's an expense that, like, I would rather skip. And then I had to pick up the older two, and it was a Monday. So the thing about Mondays is that my husband, at least this week, he taught three classes in a row. So he left at 10:30 in the morning, and he will come back at 10:30 at night because he just taught and taught and taught, which also means he's going to come home, like, tired, exhausted, and, like... You know, so I don't want to be like, hey, load the dishwasher, you know, because I'm tired. So everything's covered in dust. I take Odie to go. I like woke him up from a nap on my bed. He had pissed all over my bed. I had to strip the bed all the way down to like the mattress encasement, like the zippered mattress encasement. And so he's all mad at me because I'm like, we gotta go get your brothers. And so he's crying and he's angry and he wants a drink. And I'm like, we gotta go or we're gonna be late because I have until 6 p.m. to get our kids from camp. But they want to be picked up much earlier, obviously.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, they want me to come at like 3:30, 4:30, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but I'm like, you can be there till 6, so I might leave you there till 6.
Yeah.
So anyway... I get Odie in the car. He's crying. He's upset at me. On the way to camp, I get a call from camp. And it's camp telling me that... Well, first of all, I get a call from Rex from camp. And he's like, you're late picking me up. And I was like, wait, what? What are you talking about? I have until 6. And he's like, you're late picking me up. Come get me. And I was like, I'm working, I'm leaving soon. And he's like, leave now. And I'm like, I can't leave now. I'm getting ready to leave. I'm leaving soon. And he's like, he was like yelling at me to come and get him. Okay. So then on the way there, I get another phone call from him, and he's like, are you in the car? Are you coming? And he's like being weird. And then one of the like camp director counselor people gets on the phone. He's like, we've had a real rough day with Rex today. And so apparently Rex was like pissed about something. This is my 8-year-old. And he like, went outside. Like everyone was in the gym doing stuff. And he was just like, fuck this noise. I'm leaving. Cause he wanted to be picked up and he didn't want to be there anymore. And he just like went outside and then he hid from the counselor. This counselor who's supposed to be watching this gym full of kids is now outside looking for my 8-year-old who's hiding from him. So that wasn't cool. So I'm like, I'll be there. I'm on my way. So I get there. Odie's pissed. The older two are pissed. The counselors are pissed. Everyone's angry. And I'm like, I need to feed these people. I don't know how I'm going to make that happen. My house, it looks like, I'm not comparing my home situation to 9/11, but
after that is the visual I had in my head. I'm not going to lie. That's just really what I was picturing. Yeah.
After 9/11,
that's my reference for white dust covered things.
Yes. I Sam Riegel posted all these pictures of his house after 9/11 because they lived right next to World Trade Center and everything was covered. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was picturing.
Yeah. So I don't know.
The East Coast, so maybe that's a thing. I don't know.
I mean, maybe I was just triggered, but that's what I felt like. So I was like, this is a 9/11 in my kitchen. Yeah. Okay.
It's the same.
Me getting new floors in my kitchen is like a 9/11 for me. Okay.
Ridiculous. I'm so sorry we talk about 9/11 all the time.
Okay, so anyway.
We do.
We
talk about it all the time.
Okay, so I pick up the fucking kids, and I'm like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the... So I talk to the counselor. He's in trouble, yada, yada. So I'm like, I need to take them out to dinner. Maybe I can take them somewhere near Ari, and he can come meet us just to, like... Because they want to see him, and I know he wants to see them, and also I could use just, like, a moment to connect with him and not these, like... angry children who are yelling at me and blaming me for everything. So I'm like, Ari, come meet us at El Pollo Loco, which is like a chicken restaurant that's, I guess, Mexican themed.
It's the craziest chicken.
So I'm like, hey, come to El Pollo Loco. It's right next door to UCB where you're teaching and working, and we can meet for dinner. And he's like, okay, I'll meet you there. And then I get this text, and he's like, that's not an El Pollo Loco. That's an El Pollo Campanino or something. And I was like, no, it's not. I thought it, okay. Well, anyway, so I pull up to the restaurant, and I'm like, it is an El Pollo Loco. This is ridiculous. So he had gone to...
This is crazy.
This is the craziest chicken. So he had gone to a totally different restaurant. Oh. And he was like... and so I was like, fucking A. So I'm like, it is a Pollo Loco. Where are you? And he's like, I'm coming. So I bring the kids into the restaurant, and Rex is so mad. And he's like, why can't we go to Panda Express? It's right here. And I'm like, because you got in trouble, and I'm not taking you to Panda Express because you got in trouble at camp. Like, I'm not going to reward you for taking you to your favorite restaurant when you got in trouble at camp. So we go, and so anyway, I was like, oh, Ari, do they have anything that, you know, at El Pollo Loco that the kids will eat? And he's like, oh yeah, they've got fried chicken and chicken nuggets. And I was like, great. So we go into the place, El Pollo Loco, our sponsor this week. And I'm looking at the menu, and it's like nothing they will eat. And I'm so pissed because I want to eat there, and there's nothing that they will eat, and they're angry at me, and they're looking at the menu, and they're like, we don't like any of this. There's nothing we can eat. Why are we at Panda Express? And they're like, and then they start fist fighting each other. And then one of them has to pee. So we all have to go to the fucking bathroom. And then we come back out, and they're still fist fighting. And then at some point, I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I keep texting Ari, and he's not. And he's like, I'm on my way. And so eventually we just go outside, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. Let's just get in the fucking car. Let's just all get in the car.
I was imagining you standing in the, like, the line, but not quite at the, like, register.
That's exactly
like,
right.
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Like, oh, the guy's like, can order. I help you?
Yeah, for real. I was like in line with three children who were fist fighting and kicking and screaming and yelling at me. And yeah, it was a nightmare. And I'm trying to look at the menu, trying to, like, pay attention to them and, like, scan whether there's anything they'll eat and you know, because I really want a salad in a taco bowl.
so you went outside. Good.
So I took them all outside. I feel like one of them Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. The bathroom was locked. That's right. So I took them outside so that one of them could just pee on the side of El Pollo. Because we are so classy. We pee outside of everywhere. It's the worst. I'm garbage. If I had girls, I'd be screwed because my kids piss everywhere.
I mean,
like, dogs.
That is a luxury.
That's
something I didn't think about. I just have a daughter.
But I'm constantly like,
I guess
piss on this tree.
I guess she pisses wherever she wants right now.
These.
But yeah,
oh, that's true.
Right now, it's not an issue, but be nice.
Yeah. So we go outside. He's peeing, and then we get in the car, and then I just sit in the. I think I just sat in the car, and like everyone was yelling at me, and I just ignored them. And then Ari showed up, thank God. And I think I just sat there and just didn't talk to anyone for a few minutes. And Ari just said hello to them. And then he had to go back to work. So then we went home. And I think that was most of it. But yeah, it was just a fucking nightmare.
Wait, did they get, did any of you get dinner?
Eat?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Thank you. So
like then I blacked then, out.
No, so they yep, all pretty much. Yeah. So I dropped Ari back off at work, and then I went to that El Pollo Campanero, wherever he was, that had the chicken nuggets and the fucking fried chicken. We went there, and it was super expensive, even though it was like a chicken fast food restaurant. And so I ordered them food, and then of course they're fighting. They're like fist fighting while I'm trying to order. I swear to God, my 3.5-year-old peed yesterday like 50 times. I don't know what the fuck was happening, but he, maybe because we kept going to restaurants and they would give him like a big drink.
Yeah.
And and so I would let him have like a fucking Hawaiian punch. Yeah. So he's like 32 ounces of Hawaiian punch. So he had to pee constantly. And so we were at this restaurant last night, and there was like this long hallway. And then at the end of the, so the bathrooms were at the very end of the hallway, and then there was an exit door. So my older kids kept wanting to go to the bathroom, but I was really freaked out that some man was going to abduct them in the bathroom and then take them out through that back door. And then yeah. And then I'd
that's
be like, oh.
That's an abduction door.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally.
That's just why it's there. Yeah.
Why, it's not an emergency exit.
No,
nope.
It's just an abduction door.
It's yep. For yeah. People who want to murder your kid.
Yeah.
Doi. So yeah. So they went to the bathroom a zillion times. And it was a...
It was just a day.
It was just a real...
It sounds like a day and a broken, half, I'd say.
A real day. Yeah. It was about 10 days yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you ever find out why Rex got so mad?
No. I mean, that's just like how he is now. He's just mad all the time. Aww. I don't know.
I love that he was like, you know what?
I'm out.
I'm going to see what happens if I just leave.
Yeah.
They, you know, honestly, I don't think these people have it in them.
I don't want to be here. I don't have to be.
Yeah. The counselors were like, he said that we're not his parents, and so we're not the boss of him. And so he doesn't have to listen to what we say. And I was like, oh my God, Rex. And then I also, as an aside to one of the counselors, I was like, he's also very disrespectful to me. And he also doesn't think that I'm the boss of him or thinks that he has to do what I tell him to do either. So there's that.
So were you like, validation? This is what I feel like all the time.
It was validation to be like, yes, it isn't nice when he is disagreeable and disrespectful.
Awesome. They're like, you know, he didn't listen to us and he said that I'm not you, so I can't listen. You're like, hold on. I don't think you quite understand.
Yeah.
He never listens to me. Well, and can we talk about this for a minute?
He's a liar.
He is like, he's in such denial about how I am the boss of him.
Yeah.
He is so mad when I bring that up. He's like, you're not the boss of me. I'm like, no, I am literally the boss of
you. You're like,
you.
Who is if it's not me?
It is my job to tell you what to do.
Yep.
And it's your job to do it.
Yeah. Forever.
Forever. Yeah. Until one or both of us die. So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, yesterday sucked.
I would have been like, I'm throwing this house away.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I put them to bed and then I just had to like frantically
clean.
Yeah, it did suck.
Hello, it's Amanda, and our sponsor today is Birchbox, which I am very excited about. If you listen to the show, you know that I love all things makeup and beauty, but you also know that I'm a mom and I don't have time to do what I would love to do, which is to take all the time in the world going up and down all the aisles of every single makeup store that I can, going through each and every product. So our sponsor today, Birchbox, makes that easier for me. What it is you go online, you fill out a customized profile saying like what you like, what you don't like, what's your skin type like, then they send you a box for $15 a month, filled with new samples and new products that you may never have known about. Not only that, but yes, I said samples, but they're not, they're travel size. So it's not like the little tiny samples you might get if you go into the store and you say, can I try a sample size of this? They're travel size. So you actually get a feel for what the products are so that you can say like, okay, I tried this for a week and it was amazing. So now I want to get the full-size product. All you have to do is go to Birchbox.com and they work with over 500 different prestigious brands that offer something for every hair type, every skin concern, and every lifestyle. So fill out your personal profile and they'll send you products curated just for you. It's pretty awesome, and it makes it so much easier for you to try new things. It's also kind of like a little gift every month. So head to Birchbox.com/WMD to get started with Birchbox and get $5 off when you use promo code WMD. So that's promo code WMD at Birchbox.com/WMD for $5 off your first Birchbox. Birchbox.com/WMD.
I love Care Of.
Oh, what is Care Of?
Their subscription service that delivers vitamins and supplements customized for your specific health needs, and they send them right to your door.
How do they know what your specific health needs are?
Well, you just fill out a cute little quiz. It's real fast and easy, it's actually kind of fun.
It's right there, yeah.
Yeah, and they just ask you kind of like, what are your health goals? What do you want to improve?
How much sleep are you getting?
Yeah. Are you doing a lot of exercise these days? Yeah, are you feeling down these days? Yeah. So they're going to ask you a lot of different questions, and then they're going to give you a personalized vitamin and supplement plan just for you. And they're going to send it to you every month as long as you want it. And if you don't want it, you say, stop sending it.
It's so easy, so convenient. It comes right to your door, and it's exactly what you need based on what you say you need.
Yeah, with summer approaching, you can make your health and wellness a priority again.
The other thing, too, is that Care Of makes sure that whatever you're putting into your body comes from the best sources, backed by honest guidance and transparency, available all to you on their website.
And the thing that I like most about it is that it's really convenient. I don't have to go to the store and look at all these aisles and have no idea what I need and how much. They figure out for me, based on the answers I give in this quiz, what is going to serve me best, what's going to give me an upgrade in my healthy lifestyle.
So the other thing too is they come in these little packets, and now the packets are compostable. So you can put them in your compost and they'll break down, and it's even better for you to have your vitamins, but now it's also not so bad for the environment.
I love it. I really do love Care Of. I was feeling really kind of like lethargic lately, and ever since I've been taking them, I'm feeling a lot better. And they also have a lot of cute little things, these little, what do they call them, boosters?
Yep.
They're like little pixie sticks with vitamins and all sorts of stuff in them.
Yep.
And they have one that has like caffeine and, you know, B vitamins, and it's to help you wake up. And there's another one that, like, if you're feeling like kind of like maybe you're going to catch something, like a cold or something, you can take those. I really liked those. Those were very tasty. They really are like pixie sticks.
Yeah,
and they have protein powders too.
Yep.
Which are great for you and maybe your kids. They have them all sorts of delicious flavors.
So for 25% off your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter WMD. So for 25% off your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter WMD.
Heck yeah! So what's broken you, Amanda?
Well, Caitlin was away all weekend, so I was home alone.
With a silent retreat?
Yeah. He went and visited friends in New Orleans. So he had a like buddy's trip where they went and looked at old historical houses.
I know. Boner-tastic for me.
I know. Meanwhile, I was like, how did this happen? How did this happen? Like what? Us marrying each other with you going to New Orleans and looking at houses.
I got to go to New Orleans with the bros and check out some historical houses.
You were going
to
check out them houses, babe.
I'm like, okay. Have fun. So I watched the kids. I was here with them all weekend, and it was nice. It was interesting, though, because I went back to work. It'll be 2 years in October.
Oh, wow.
And so before that, I was home with them, and we got into such a routine.
Yeah.
And over the weekend, it was like riding a bike where it was like, boom, we all went back into the routine because my husband was working a lot. So he wasn't around all the time.
Yeah.
So it was always me with the kids doing everything. And so it was like, all right, here we go. And so we all fit right back into our schedule and our routine. And it was great and interesting. It almost felt like it was a weird, like, feeling to just be like back in that space.
Like normal.
Yeah. Instead of on the weekends now, it just feels like, whoa, I'm home. Okay, what are we doing? What do we have to get done?
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know, it just felt very like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to all do it together. I don't know. It was good. It was a good weekend. We played Exploding Kittens, which is a fun card game.
Oh, my kids like that game.
Yep.
Mm. Oh. Was that a cat or a child?
That was a cat. I mean, that was a child.
Exploding child.
Yeah.
That game is not fun.
Less fun.
No, that is the. That's what my life is. oh no, they exploded. You lost. You get to put them to bed. Caitlin came back, and I went back to work on Monday. And yesterday, I came home, and Emmeline was sitting with me, and she was just like, "Mom, I think that you should stop working now."
Oh no.
She said, "I think maybe you should be one of those moms that picks kids up from school every day."
Oh Lord.
And I just like lost it. Yeah. I started crying. Oh. I mean, like, not in a way that was like totally noticeable to her. But I was like, "I know, but I need to use my brain. What would I do all day? You're going to be in school all day. What would I do?" And she was like, "You could just wait at home."
For oh my me. God.
And I just, like, she was so serious. She clearly doesn't understand, like, what work is. But to her, it's, she's like, "I just don't see you like I used to. You're always, it's always just early in the morning or late at night." And it just felt so, it was so sad. She's like, "It makes me sad. I don't get to see you. I wish that you were doing that. I think you should do that." And she was like, "My one friend, Chloe, her mom is always at school helping out." And it just was like all of the
insecurities.
Yeah. I was like, what am I doing? Like, should I be, this is the tiniest time. And in like 3 years, they're not going to care. Yeah. Should I be home? Should I be with them? Oh no. And I know that, like, yes, I am a role model of a, like a mother who works, and just like I wasn't before, you know, I was a role model who was home, who also sort of worked too and did part-time stuff. But, it's just hard when they verbalize it, you know, because you have that fear. But when they actually verbalize it and look at you and tell you, "I'm sad about this and I would like to see you more and have you pick me up from school and be more present." Because all last year I struggled with the work-life balance. And school was the thing that I think caught the short end of the stick, because I kept forgetting about things. Like, it was like, there's a school party. And I was like, "Oh, no, it's
you know.
And I'd be like, "Go easy, you're learning." But it was a clear, no, you got to put more in on this side. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
So it just, it broke me.
Yeah.
Because it just was like, yeah, like I can't quit my job. But in that moment I was like, "I quit. I'm done. I'm home."
Yeah.
But I also remember being home and being severely depressed and isolated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because all I did was hang out with children all day.
Yeah.
And drive them places.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, and I was like, "I can't do this anymore." Like, I remember, I'll never forget sitting in front of the karate studio where they didn't have seats for anyone. So we had to sit outside on a busy street, and I had the girls, and they were three and wild. They would just scream and jump around, and I had to listen to "Let It Go" on repeat. Mm-hmm. And I just remember sitting in the car and staring straight out and having "Let It Go" like blaring just to keep them from crying, and just sitting there thinking like, what the hell happened to me? Yeah. Like, I just was lost, you know, and my kid's in there doing karate. He doesn't even want to do it. You know, it's like, it was like, oh, this isn't right. You know, but I forget about that when she says, you know, you should pick me up from school. Yeah. But there are moments when you can pick them up from school that are really nice. Like I do miss going and picking them up.
Yeah. Me too.
And being there.
Me too.
It's tough. So I, you know, I'm just going to see what I can do to pick them up more. Maybe do little times where I can pick her up, or I don't know, volunteer to be not a class parent.
Oh, no.
I'm not a class parent.
No.
Class parents, it's like the...
No, yeah, my sister-in-law is one. But she also like works, and she couldn't help but volunteer to do it, and then she was like pulling her hair out and then because she works part-time and
it's hard. There are people who are class parents and I love them because they are class parents
and they are on it.
I am a donator, so I throw money at the class parent and say, "I appreciate you do it.
Thank
you,
so
you
much.
Do you you do whatever you want with that $20, all the flowers, you know, like, but so I'll just have to find something to do so she feels like I'm part of her experience at school. And then, it just sucks.
Yeah.
Because it makes you feel like a failure.
Right.
Yeah.
Because she's saying you're not here enough.
Right.
But then I'm at work and I can't get my work done enough.
Right.
It's just, it's like, what is
always
wrong?
Feeling like you're, it's no matter what you do, you feel a little like you're not no matter what you do, you feel like you're doing something wrong. Or I mean,
yeah, there's
I've
no
been doing this for 4 months, but I feel constantly like no matter, that was like the overwhelming feeling for me, especially in like the first couple weeks and months. I mean, and still, but the thing, it was like crippling me at first was I was like, everything I do, I feel like I'm doing something wrong or someone would tell me that this is wrong. And so you're like figuring out a newborn too, where everything, I'm just like, what? Why is she crying? I don't know. Try this, try that. And like, it seems to be working, but I think I've read somewhere that this is actually wrong. Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It, no matter. Yeah.
It's, that's self-doubt.
Yeah.
It's a mind fuck.
Right. But like the, I just started working again, but I'm working from home. But so we, I have a, we've like a part-time nanny who comes so that we can get work done, but we're also home, which is really nice, but also weird because like those like boundaries get blurred. And
yeah.
She's so young still, but she just started the other day. Our nanny Janet sort of brought her into the, I was in the kitchen and she kind of walked in the room. She was like, I think she got upset because you left the room.
Oh.
And I was like, what? That's new. Like, she realizes when I leave the room and she's like, yeah, she got kind of upset. I think she just like wants you to hold her. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah.
No. Like, oh no. Like it's started like, you know, like we only got 4 months where I could like, I'm just sort of like she recognizes me, but like now it's like now she recognizes me leaving the room and leaving her. And it's just like, shit, man. Because I'm you know, I'm working from home now, but I'm going back to my writing job in September. And you know, I'm planning to work. That's always been the plan. We can't afford for me to stay home. It's like, it's just what I'm gonna do. But I was raised, but my mom worked full time growing up, and I do remember I had like those friends whose moms were stay at home moms and like class moms, and feeling jealous of them. But I also do remember, even as young as kindergarten, feeling pride that my mom worked. Like I understood, like my mom works. That's why she can't be here, you know? And I feel, and like feeling like a pride about that. And she would though make an effort to like be the chaperone on a field trip.
Yeah.
You know, probably just once, maybe twice a year, but, and it was like so exciting. It was like special and cool for, so I remember those really well, but it's so, I don't know. I think your kids do understand that, you know. I'm sure my mom also probably explained to me, like, mommy works. You know, she probably, like, drilled it into my head, too. Yeah. But I do remember feeling like, just feeling like a sense of sort of, like, pride or, like, yeah, my mom works. Like, I don't, that's just what it is. But, it's hard.
It sucks. Yeah, it is. It
sucks. Yeah, I see those moms at, like, school functions who are so involved, and I feel like kind of jealous. And I wish that I was doing that.
You know, it's funny because I was those moms.
Yeah,
I was,
it's
one
hard
of them.
When you like change that identity.
I mean, I was totally part of the like stay at home mom crew, and we would be like, okay, let's go have dinner together with the other moms and the kids, or meet you at this place and we'll go here because you only survive through your other friends because otherwise you're But so but I also remember the working moms coming to pick up sometimes, and it was, there was like a, on the other side of it, it was like, oh, you get to have it all. That's what it felt like. Like I remember being like, you get
to
have it all
out in the world.
You get to have your kids and the family, but you also get your own life and identity. And so I just remember seeing that and thinking, because at the time it felt just so all encompassing to be mom that you lose sight of that. And so it would be like glimpse, like a little glimmer of, oh, see, that person's working. Wow, look at her outfit. That's like a real outfit.
Right, yeah.
She's not wearing, just wearing schlubby pants and a t-shirt.
She's wearing pants.
Yeah,
she's in clothes, like real clothes.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't have to, people don't know she's a mom unless she tells them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is, I think when I went back to work, where I was like, I'm going to get really nice clothes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to wear them. Yesterday, I wore all white. And somebody was like, wow, you're brave. And I'm like, no, I'm not home.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
As soon as I get home, I'm changing this outfit because it will be destroyed in a minute.
I might change in front of my house before I even set foot in the house.
Oh, that reminds me of tonight when I left to come here. Ajax, my 7-year-old, was in the shower. He was taking a shower and he was very up. I was like, bye, I love you. And he's like, oh, what? And he like came out of the shower. He's like, mama, like, you have to give me a kiss. And he's like dripping wet. And he gave me a kiss. And then as I was like going downstairs to put on my shoes, I heard him saying like, I want to give mama a hug. And Ari was like, you're soaking wet. Like you're going to get mama all wet. Like, and he was like, oh, I need to give her a hug. And I felt so bad because I was already running late and, yeah.
The guilt.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel bad because I'm always like, I'll get dressed to go out somewhere to do, you know, work or a show or.
Yeah.
And someone with, you know, Nutella all over their face wants to bury their head in my shirt.
Always.
Oh God. You know,
I'm like dreading. I mean, just hearing, she just started crying, having tears when she cries.
Oh.
And that like gutted Don and I. We're like, oh my God. Like it's so, oh. And just when she can like call for me by name, I'm going to die. Like,
oh,
when she's
not saying it yet.
No, she's not talking at all. Yeah. She's just like making babbling sounds at this point. But when she can like, or express her thoughts and her sadness.
When she's
please,
I'm so sad.
I would like it for, I'm very sad. I want you to stay home. I'll be like, no.
I definitely remember hiding my mom's keys.
Mm. Yeah.
Did you ever do that? Hide your mom's keys?
I didn't, but I probably just didn't think of it. Oh.
They drag their feet. So Emily especially will drag her feet to get dressed in the morning. And I'm guessing it's like her way of being like, I don't want to go because I'm here with you guys. I bet there's that there.
Laura, what has broken you? Please tell us.
Nothing. It's been really easy. I'm having a good time.
I haven't cried.
Yeah.
Ever.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Yeah.
You lucked out. You got that nice baby.
Yeah.
It just makes JK. It all good.
I was trying to think. Well, I was saying my husband, Don, who's on this.
That's right. Don Finelli was probably on, probably in the most recent episode.
Yeah. He stole our most epic story. So go listen to that.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's all about.
Involved helicopters and a felon on the loose.
Yes. Like,
and a wailing baby who, in retrospect, I think had a fever from her first round of vaccines, we think, maybe. She got her second round of vaccines yesterday. And we were like bracing our, first of all, she is in the 99th percentile for size.
Nice.
She's the size of, she's 4 months. She's the size of a 7-month-old.
Yeah.
Just huge, huge head. Like I think half of her weight is her head.
Your husband is tall.
Yeah. I'm sure. I'm 5'5".
Yeah. You're not.
I'm not. And she, when she came out, she was like very average. She was like 7 pounds, 7 ounces. She was like very average size. And then she just exploded at some point. She's just huge.
Exploding babies.
Yeah, she's exploding baby. Kids. There she is. That came. I have one. But yeah, she got her next round of shots and she didn't cry. And I think it's because her thighs are so fat that it didn't hurt. We were like, brace her, here we go. Because the first round she like lost her mind. And if she is a little bit tired or a little bit hungry, she loses her mind.
Same.
But shots in each thigh, fine. Didn't like, not even a whimper. She just kind of like had a confused look on her face. We were like, here we go. And then we're like, oh.
I love it.
It was like kind of almost troubling where I was like, why aren't you crying?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the time to
you
cry.
Flick her in the face. Can you feel that?
Yeah. Like she started doing this thing around 6 weeks where she'd just be lying there contentedly. And then all of a sudden, like, hey, and we just look and she'd be red in the face and her little fist shaking and she's just sucking in air and then just. Like the scream, like she, like we, every time we've checked for a broken bone because she's screaming as if she just somehow lying there broke a bone. Like I can't imagine how she could cry any harder. And we were like, what is that? Like, did something startle her? Like every single time it's happened.
A ghost poked her.
Truly, we're like, what is this? And I'm of course on a text chain with other moms who have like little babies too. And they're like, my kid does that too. And it's usually when he's tired and we realize it's always like within an hour of bedtime. So I was like, so you're just tired. That's it. You're tired. And you just decide like you on a dime. We're like, I'm really tired. Like that's it.
Is it the witching hour?
It is, but she didn't really have, but like, that's like fussiness. This is like, and she'll be calm. We can calm her down pretty quickly, but it is. It's scary. Like, we'll be, like, shaking because we really think,
jeez.
Yeah, we're like,
something's wrong.
Yeah, we think like something's really wrong. Like, she's fine. She's just starting to get tired. Like, that's it. Shots are fine. She's very like our nanny Janet, she's wonderful and has been babysitting kids for like 25 years, was kind of talking about previous kids she's sat for, and she usually stops working for the families when the kids start preschool, and you know, some kids she worries about aren't ready and still need her, and she was getting kind of emotional. It was very sweet, and she was like, but your kid, she'll be fine. Like, she's already, I can tell, like, she's gonna be fine by the time she goes to school, because she's like opinionated at 4 months. I'm like, great. She's like, she tells you what she wants and what she doesn't want. Ooh. I was like, it's true, but I thought that was like I have nothing to compare it to, so anything, I'm just like, this is something babies do. She's like, mm-mm, this is something your baby does. Aww. I was like, shit. I mean, great. I want that, like, a strong, opinionated woman and a child, but like, do I? Like,
that's the weird thing about your firstborn, yeah, is that you just assume everything they do, yeah, is what babies do.
Yeah. The only reason, like, it took us a while to realize that she's giant until we like took her out somewhere and there was another baby we took her to a brewery. So there was luckily another baby at this bar.
Great.
Breweries are like very acceptable to bring babies to, at least in my opinion, because they're like open air.
Well, and they're like making things. Yeah, it's a craft. They're learning a craft.
They're learning a craft. But there was a baby there that we assumed was half her age because the baby was half her size, but it was actually twice her age and she's just really huge. So we were like, oh, maybe we have a giant baby. Like, we were like, their kid was 6 months and she was 3 months at the time. They're like, how old? And I was like, she's 3 months. And the other mom went, 3 months. I was like, how old's your kid? She was like, 6 months. And I think he was small. Anyway, I was just like, maybe baby's a giant. Yeah.
Amazing.
You know. But yeah, I mean, when I was just thinking of stuff to talk about, I mean, you know, she's so young still. It's just, I feel like I'm just coming out of newborn land and like that fourth trimester, and that the first 6 weeks I was like, I'm not enjoying this. Like, I don't like this. I love her and she's so cute and I love her, but it felt like such a like anxious love. Like, I couldn't enjoy myself. I couldn't enjoy her. And it was, I feel like the hardest, well, my hormones are crashing and I'm kind of an anxious person anyway. And I definitely think in retrospect, I might've had some, like, it was definitely tipping into like postpartum anxiety world, I think. But breastfeeding was, I did not expect it to be. Like, I'd heard breastfeeding is really hard and can be hard, you know. I was like lining up lactation consultants beforehand. I was like, I heard breastfeeding's hard, so I'm going to try to. I was like,
But it's always like very vague.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't understand what that meant. I just heard it was can be hard. And then like in the hospital trying to have her like latch for the first time and this like tiny hard little mouth, and I was to my nipple, which has never been mashed before to death.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this hurts a lot. And I was like, oh, it's hard because it's excruciatingly painful.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, the human species has existed despite the fact that she had to be taught how to latch. I was like, giraffes fall out and get up and walk.
Yeah.
What the hell? Like, and you can't figure this, and I can't figure out how to show you. Like, I had 4,500 lactate. Like, there were some in the hospital. I heard like three different lactation consultants to try to, there was nothing wrong. She wasn't tongue tied. Like, she was latching okay. It was just so painful.
Yeah.
I was like having cracking and bleeding. Yeah. And so then she wasn't getting enough food because I would end, I'd be like, I think she's full, you know, look at like, get off me.
Yeah.
Like, ow, ow, you know, okay, I think she's done. And then, you know, the feedings would take forever. And then I'd finally be like, okay, we're done. And then she'd be hungry again, like 30 minutes later.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd be like, no, like my husband would come and be like, I think she's hungry. And I'd be like, fuck you, you're hungry. I'd be like, no, she's not. And he's like, she's rooting and crying. And I'm like, she's not hungry. She can't possibly be hungry because she just fed for like 4 hours straight. And I've only had like a 30-minute break. So there's no way she's hungry. God. And he's like, she's hungry.
I remember that. Yeah. Do you remember that, Amanda?
And it felt like PTSD.
Yeah, and it like feels like an accusation almost where it's like you didn't feed her enough. But it's, of course, not how he means it. But that's how.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Laura, right now I'm sitting in a rocking chair and my now 8-year-old is latching and I'm shuddering with pain.
Yes. I got to a point where then I'd have to just like brace for the initial latch and then it'd be okay. Yeah. That was, it took a while to achieve that level. But so basically but I was always very much like, I will breastfeed. Like it was important to me to breastfeed and I don't know why it was so important. Like I also think formula is fine. Like I wanted to give her breast milk. I think there's benefits to it, but it was, I think, and it still is cause I'm still, well now I'm like mostly pumping cause that's sort of what had to happen was, I guess it was just like, I was so determined to do this. I feel like I've just never failed so hard at something I tried so hard to do. Mm-hmm. And it felt like everyone else was able to do it. Which I know is not true, mm-hmm. but it really felt that way. So yes. I was thinking like, so I went to a breastfeeding support group that was like kind of like a mommy and me, but it was like labeled specifically like a breastfeeding support group for new moms for like, I think specifically for moms with like 12-week and younger babies. So I think Joni was like 6 weeks old and I hadn't like taken her out of the house like solo that many times. So it was such an ordeal to like pack up the diaper bag and just even think of what I need and like get her in the car seat, get her in the car to like drive with her alone in the back seat and me alone in the front seat. And we get to this place. And of course she's had a massive shit blowout in the car. She's only ever shat in the car twice. And it was both times I was like alone, like taking her somewhere alone. So, and I'd put her in like a little cute outfit because I'm going somewhere. There's gonna be other babies. We have to look good. We have to look nice. She's just covered in shit. and so I don't know what to do. I didn't even know how to enter the place. Even if she hadn't shit herself, I was like, do I leave her in the car seat and carry the car seat? Do I bring a wrap? Do I bring a stroller? Will there be a place for a stroller? Like in retrospect, of course, this place exists for babies. Like I could have just come in any way I want, but I was like, okay, I'm gonna do the solid, like, do I do the ergo carrier? Do I do like, you know, what do like, how do I even get my baby from car to support group?
Oh my God.
It was just like, I don't need, like, I'm so
out
new.
Of your mind in those early days.
Pumping gas. I remember pumping gas the first time. I was like, oh no, I get out of the car.
And I leave the baby in there?
Stays in the car?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is
why.
That okay?
And it's off?
Oh God.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If the...
Right, but that feels crazy at you're first. Like, yeah.
It's so crazy to think about. Like, you're like, it's just pumping gas.
I know. It's like, I can see them. But I think I would also be like, that. No, someone has to stay in the car with her. It's like, no, you don't. But
and then
you
what
think
if you had
that?
To pay in the and remember how you used to have to pay inside?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh. Well, now you'll get
well, but our
arrested,
parents would have just let us.
They would have been like, good luck to you.
Yeah, have a cigarette to
if
chew
want
on
you,
while
they'll
I go
take
and pay
you.
For the gas.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so, yeah, I'd been like, you know, struggling so much. I'd had like clogged ducts where I had a whole day devoted to just trying to unclog, like just rock hard masses in my boobs. And I was so afraid of it becoming mastitis and I was losing my mind. I was like, you know, texting lactation consultant, like, what do I do? And she was like, fill a bowl with warm water and Epsom salt and dip your breasts in them and massage. And she gave me like this schedule all day of like massaging and feeding and pumping and dipping my boob in a bowl, which I was like, why don't I just get a bathtub and take an Epsom bath, which will be much nicer than dipping my boob in a bowl and trying to like squeeze. I'm like, I have tiny boobs. I'm like, I can't even
it's
like
really
dip
assuming
a boob
a lot
in a
about
bowl.
One's
yeah.
boob.
I was like, mine's not, I don't have a dippable breast. It's like, I just need to submerge. So I'd lie in like 5 inches of water on one side and just squeeze my boob in Epsom salt and then like rinse it off because the baby won't like the saltiness and then finally I was like, I mean, it was all day and I was like, the masses are somehow getting harder. I was like, it is not working. And I was like, I'm gonna get mastitis, like I'm fuck, you know. And then finally she was like, you can also try this, and sent me a link from like kellymom.com or whatever, and was like, it was called a dangle feed.
Oh, right.
So where the baby's lying down, mm-hmm. and you literally crouch over them like an animal and dangle your breast into their mouth, and the sucking and the gravity will pull the mass out, and that is what worked.
Yeah.
So really? I have, my mom was still, she was, it was in the first 3 weeks, my mom was still there, and so my mom has photos of me just crouched over my. Oh yeah, I was like, take a photo. I was like, this is nuts. So I've just literally like crouched. She's on like a co-sleeper thing on our couch, and I'm just like on all fours, like crouched over her to dip my small breast again, like very small. So I have to like I'm just kind of planking almost, so I don't crush my baby. And I'm like, here's a boob. And she's just like. Opening her mouth like, what is this? But it worked. So
that is awesome.
And it was like actually one of the more successful latches and like breastfeeding sessions we had had. And so I was like, is this our position? Because yeah. There's so much like, you know, the side lying position, the football position, the, you know, all of them hurt. And like, so anyway,
the
so
dangle.
The dangle, it worked. It saved so my glamorous. Life. It was hot. But so anyway,
just plank.
So I just
now.
Had to plank over her. And so anyway, so I'm going to this breastfeeding support group because like breastfeeding just wasn't working. Very early on, I had to stop for a week to let my nipples heal because they were bleeding. And so, you know, I was advised like just pump for a while. Like it needs to just heal. So we kind of got into this routine of pumping, which was nice because it didn't hurt. And it was nice that someone else could feed her. But pumping's like a pain in the fucking ass, yeah. You know? So
you're being milked by a robot.
Yeah, you're being milked by a robot. And then at the end of it, like your kid still needs to be fed. So it's like kind of this extra step and cleaning all the parts is a pain in the ass. And so, but then because of that, she got bottles very early and then was starting to prefer the bottles, even though we did the slow flow nipples and blah, blah, blah. Like she would breastfeed for like a little bit and then start crying and get frustrated because it wasn't coming as fast as she wanted.
This happened with my third kid.
Yeah. And so I was just, so it was just kind of like you figure it out and then a new problem. So I went to this breastfeeding support group and I was just like, at least I can be in a room with other women who are also struggling. I show up, I'm like holding my shit covered baby, which I put her in a Catan wrap to walk the 20 feet from the car, and I'm like, I need to change her. She's covered in poop. So now is
you're
this wrap.
Covered in
yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, I don't want to leave her in the car seat, even though it already had poop in it. I was like, because then she's going to poop the car seat, and I don't know how to wash that. So at least I can wash this wrap, and I can wash my shirt, and I can wash all of this. So then she's covered in shit, so we have to like go change her, and then we're late. I sit down. It kind of already started. Now, I just want to say that this was a really great support group. It's run by a lactation consultant. Like, it's great. It's a great, and it's like free at first. And I think after that, it's like $15 or something. It's like a lot of these mom classes were like, create a community, blah, blah, blah. It's like $400. And then it's like 12 weeks. And I'm like, I can't commit to 12 weeks of anything. Like, I'm
I don't understand why everything isn't just like a drop-in class.
This was a drop-in. Yeah. So
drop-in
I was like,
is the best.
Yeah. And so I was like, excited to go. So we, you know, everyone's like sitting on floors and there's like boppies everywhere. And she's like, there's a bouncy ball if anyone needs it. And it was nice at first. And so I'm like, okay, we're going to all talk about our breastfeeding issues. Right. And I realized like everyone's sitting in a circle, like happily breastfeeding their kid. And it's sort of like led by people bring up what they want to bring up and sort of bring up whatever issues or questions they
like
have
AA.
Or whatever. Yeah. And
or what I assume
everyone's like, yeah, no, we're good with breastfeeding. We're fine. I'm like, And I was the only asshole who like at some point she got hungry. So I started to breastfeed her like everyone else. And then she, after like a few seconds, she starts crying and lets off. And I have to like whip out the bottle I have to bring with me and give her the bottle. And again, no one cares.
Yeah.
No one's judging me, but I just felt like such a failure.
Yeah.
I finally had to be like, so she doesn't like breastfeeding lasts for like 2 seconds. And then she like gives up and I have to give her a bottle and it's really frustrating. And you know, the lactation consultant was like, well, you know, it's probably the nipples, she prefers the bottle. And she was like, there's these things you can get that look like little IV bags with like a little tube that you can attach to your nipple. That'll give you more milk. So when they're when they're breastfeeding, it sort of gives them more milks than they prefer. I was like, that sounds crazy. I can't do that. Like, I'm not doing that.
No.
I was just like, that's what I have to, like, now, like, I've already done so much. I've already dangled. I've already like paid all the lactation consultants. I don't want to buy some IV type thing.
No, another thing to wash.
Another thing. And I was just so like, God damn. And we, it just wasn't working. And I was trying so hard. And I feel like, and we finally got to a place where it wasn't hurting anymore. And it was actually like kind of nice to breastfeed, even though I would always have to finish her off with a bottle. So mm-hmm. then I'd usually have to like feed her, give her some of a bottle and then pump, which was, so I was like, my life was just being a milk producer.
Yeah.
And I just left that. I left that support group feeling horrible. Oh. And it wasn't.
And like again, alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was not because of them. It was because of me. Like right. It was. No one said anything judgmental. The whole point was, and other people were bringing up like very vulnerable stuff. Like, I don't, you know, I'm struggling with this and that. It was like, everyone had their shit. The lactation consultant running, it was like totally non-judgmental. It was like, it was great. But I never went back. I just left and I was like, I felt bad. And I was like, they're all, oops, sorry, I hit the mic. They are all successfully breastfeeding in this breastfeeding right. support group. And I'm the only one who, for some reason, like I can't get my kid to do this thing that is natural.
Right.
You know, or supposed to be natural or like, you know. And so finally, like things got a little better and it wasn't hurting anymore. And then she just went on like a nursing strike. And this mm-hmm. is at like 8 weeks where she wouldn't latch it. She would like, I would present the boob and she would look at it and scream. Like the sight of my breasts would upset her.
Oh my God.
Which was just like insulting and devastating. It was rejection. Like, it was just, and I'd read
it's like
about,
you worked hard for a meal and you're like, here's the meal.
Yeah, they're like, I don't want it. And you're like, shitty. Except it's you.
Yeah.
Where it's like, and I was just like, but it finally doesn't hurt. We finally got to a place where it was like kind of nice. And we had a routine where I'd usually breastfeed her in the morning and it was nice. And then maybe pump for the rest of the day and give her bottles and her dad would feed her. And maybe like at night one more time. And it was sort of like, maybe we had like a week where it was like, okay, we're clicking along and we've got our system and this is nice and it doesn't hurt. And I finally have this like bonding experience and we did it. And then she was just like, no, I don't want this at all. And I was looking it up online. And it's apparently a thing. And they were like, you have to coax the baby back to the breast. And she somehow developed a negative association. And maybe you just have to do constant, like naked, like, not tummy time, the
skin to skin,
all this stuff, don't force it, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like,
so much pressure, so much stuff.
Like, why is this happening? Like what? Why? Yeah. Why? And so it's just breastfeeding just has not worked out the way I wanted it to. And so mm-hmm. at this point I'm like mostly pump. I like sometimes breastfeed in the morning. She'll maybe do one boob 5 minutes and then that's it. That's all we
all
get.
Right.
And it's like, all right, I guess that's the best. But I feel like I had to go through a grieving period
mm-hmm.
and I was just so, especially that first time when she just was like screaming at the sight boob. I was like, I had to grieve. And I feel like my husband didn't fully, he was like, it's a bummer, but he's like, it's a bummer, but well, you know, she's still getting breast milk. So it's all good in the hood. Right. Why are you so, you know, like kind of not like, why are you so upset? But sort of like, why are you so upset?
They don't get it.
Yeah. And I was like, but even I didn't understand quite why I was so devastated. Cause I also like kind of hate breastfeeding too. Like that's the thing. I've never worked so hard to try to do something that I don't even think I really like to do that much.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe it's just my ego. I don't want to fail.
Oh,
maybe
man.
That's what 90% of what it is.
Too. Yeah. You're trying to do what you think is best.
Yeah.
And you're trying to figure out what that is.
Yeah.
And all of society is telling you this is this and that, be that and do this. And it's one of the few. So when I hear about births, I always say, I say this to new parents, and I know it's an advice-free zone, but I always say it. I say birth is the first lesson in being a parent.
Yeah.
Because you prepare.
Yeah.
But then it's going to be what it's going to be. And you just care about getting that kid here as healthy as possible.
Yeah.
And your idea of what that is goes out the window.
Yeah.
And so the same thing with breastfeeding. It's the next step where...
Yeah.
And there is a tether there, right? Like
yeah.
And so when that changes... Mm-hmm.
it's a feeling that really resounds with the mom. Cause it's like it's the next step in moving forward and in your parenting and in your relationship. And so it is a grieving process
it is.
And they don't understand.
And it is like severing that tether a little bit. It is.
Cause your body is still working for them.
It's still connected to her directly. Like, there's a direct line from...
You're still creating life actively.
Yeah. And it's... Yeah, it's like I... It's because I am mostly pumping, and it's... I'm just sort of... I'm like on a routine now, and it's okay, but it's a pain in the ass. And
it is.
And just all the washing little parts. And I did like a short two-week writing job, so I was pumping at this job for... Again, it was only 2 weeks, but holy shit, it was such a fucking pain in the ass. And... It was at this company that's like a real proper company. They like had a lactation room too.
Oh, wow.
So it was like pretty much best case scenario other than having like my own private office or something.
Yeah.
And it was still like, it sucked. Like it just was so, sometimes that it was a really far commute. So I would have to like pump in the car sometimes like one way. It was just such a pain in the ass. And I was like, you know, when I'm going back full time in September, I'm like, oh God.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, but I...
It's okay.
To stop. To stop. But I have such mixed feelings. Like, I can't wait. I cannot wait to wean. I can't wait to be able to, like, eat and drink whatever I want and just, like, have my body back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I am... I'm going to be so sad. Like, the thought also makes me really sad.
Yeah.
You know?
My first two kids, I nursed both of them each until they were a year old.
Yeah.
And then they kind of weaned themselves.
Yeah.
But my third baby, it was a very similar experience. And at, I think, about 5 months, I, like, hung it up.
Yeah.
I was done.
Yeah.
And I think because he was my third, I was able to
get
through that because I was like, well, I've been there and I've done that.
Yeah.
I've had that experience.
Yeah.
And like, I'm at peace with hanging it up and moving along. But yeah, like there was still like a little bit of a grieving process because one of the things I loved best about nursing was that it was like you had a superpower because it was like whatever the problem was,
you could just
solve it with your boob.
Yeah.
If they take it.
Yeah.
Right.
What?
If they take it.
Right. Exactly.
Now it's real iffy.
So it was like he robbed me of my superpower.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which was part of my frustration where I was like, now every time we go anywhere, I have to pack a bottle and like sometimes pump stuff like because I have the milk with me at all times, but I can't guarantee that she'll take it.
Yeah.
So now I need like a giant contraption with me. Like we're flying for the first time with her soon. And I'm like, so I guess I have to pack my pump, I guess I can get a hand pump or something. Ugh. But I'm like,
that always
I'm like,
sounded
God,
like,
it'd be really nice if you would pump. Just fucking breastfeed.
Pack your pump.
I know, but like,
in your purse, you bring a hand pump for when you need it.
No, I'll pack my pump for sure. But I'm just thinking like on the plane.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like.
You got a Hooter Hider? You got a.
A shirt.
The way you said that is so funny. You got a Hooter Hider.
It's like a weird little shirt. Apron.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Shirt.
She probably won't she'll like only breastfeed in the morning.
Oh.
Again, my kid
I mean, I used to use my Hooter Hider for pumping.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'll do that. But
like
then
I would sit in the teacher's lounge at UCB and like pump with a Hooter Hider. Yeah.
That's probably what I'll do. But then like you have to pack the pump and that takes up like a lot of precious, you know, carry on real estate that I also need to bring like all her shit, like her 4,000 diapers or whatever.
Welcome to parenthood.
Yeah. I'm just like, what do I like? Just drink them from my boobs, please. Like just for my sake. You're making this much harder for me. If you would just breastfeed,
right?
If kids could
really
just
make my
do what
life
we want,
easier.
Do what we want them to do. Like Rex, just behave at camp.
Yeah,
kids, go to sleep.
Yeah. Go to sleep and don't scream.
The number of things
it's not that hard.
I don't and when she's really tired, she cries and screams and gets more awake.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, but that's you're tired. Go to sleep.
Yeah.
Why are we as a species? Why are we the dominant species? Like
I know.
How did we get here? Because we, as when we're little and the most vulnerable, we're so stupid And we do the opposite of what just should be, I think, instinct, and every other species is just instinct, and they don't need to learn how to, like, we're training our baby to sleep. They should just sleep because it's crucial to our survival. You should just sleep. Why do I need to train you how to sleep?
100%. That's
insane. Why do I have to teach you how to drink from a boob?
Well, again, welcome to parenthood. You have to teach people insane shit.
Yeah.
Like, don't shit on the floor.
Yeah. Well, see, that's at least animal. You know, that's like, you can see cave kids, like, you know, they're shitting on floors and stuff, and right. It's fine. But I'm like, were parents, like, doing the sleep wave in, like, caves? No. Like, and were kids crying through the night and then, like, mastodons coming and eating them? Like, I don't know. I mean, like, how did we get here?
Laura, we have to wrap up the show because I have to go do an improv show now. Teacher's Lounge at UCB Sunset.
Ooh, check it out.
A couple times a month, 10:30 p.m. Tuesdays. Come check it out. But Laura, where can people find you and see your work and follow you? Ooh. Is there anything you'd like to promote?
Well, I have a book. It's called I Am Bride. It's a satirical wedding guidebook. It's like a step-by-step guide to planning your wedding, written from the voice of a fictional psychotic wedding planner.
Beautiful. Yeah. Who should buy that? People who are about to get married?
People about to get married. People with friends who are about to get married.
Lovely.
It's just...
So if you know someone who's about to get married,
it's a great gift.
I am bride.
It's on by Amazon, Laura Wilcox. Wherever you get books,
mm-hmm.
Which is probably the internet.
Yeah.
And, I'm on Instagram, Laura_Wilcox with two L's. I wanted that handle. I wanted the underscore.
Okay.
So
that's cool. No judgment. No judgment.
Yeah. I'm on Twitter, but you know, I'm not doing much.
That place is cesspool.
Yeah, it's bad.
Hey, if you like the show, please subscribe. And you know, it's a free show. So a way that you can pay us is to rate it and review it.
Yep. And if you like it, make sure to tell your friends about it.
Tell everybody, mm-hmm. especially tell your mom group.
Mm-hmm.
Please follow us on Twitter at Mommy Drinks Show and on Instagram at Why Mommy Drinks Podcast. Like us on Facebook.
Yeah, join our Facebook group. We have a great Facebook group, Mommy Drinks.
That's right. It's a whole community of listeners. It's super fun. It's super supportive. Also, send us your parenting nightmares. Send us your shit shows. Email them to us at whymommydrinkspodcast@gmail.com. And you can leave a message on our hotline.
Call me with your shit show. 424-279-8884. Call me with your shit show. 424-279-8884. Call me with your shit show.
424-279-8842.
Laura, you're doing a great job.
Thank you. I'm tired.
Me
but
too.
I'm trying.
You're doing a great job.
Yeah.
You really Thanks. Gave that the old college try really and you are it. Still in it, girl.
Yeah. Yep. It's can't wait for her to have words to tell me I'm doing a bad job.
She'll be like, stop dangling me, mom.
Yeah, she's like, no more dangling. None of my friends' moms are doing this.
But this works.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We're doing it.
Amanda.
I was like, I'm going to get... No, you're getting... All right, yeah.
You're doing a great job. There's no winning.
Nope.
There's just survival.
I'm surviving. Yeah. Betsy... You have great lashes.
Thanks.
I do. And you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
I mean, you went home and cleaned after that day.
Yeah. There was really no choice, but
that's,
yeah.
That's hero status.
That still
right
really
there.
Is
that's
hero
like,
status.
That's like next level, because you know I would have been like, nope. We'll keep eating out.
Like, well,
if you don't do it, if you don't pay attention to it, it doesn't exist.
Yeah. Oh.
That's how the world works for me these days. Well, if you find yourself, you know, comparing your house to 9/11. Second guessing all of your life choices, or planking over your newborn baby, dangling your boobs in their face, know that you know what, you are doing a great job.
Why Mommy Drinks.
Campfire.